Well, hey, welcome to Good Friday. I resonated with some of the things that Rick said at the start there, not about the stubbed toes and whatnot. That was horrendous. I could barely survive through it. But I'm never really sure what to say to people on Good Friday, you know? Like on Easter Sunday, you go, Happy Resurrection Day, you know? And on Good Friday, you go, I'm never sure. Is it happy? Is it mournful? Is it and because it's all of these things. It's the greatest tragedy that ever happened in the world, mixed with the greatest day of victory and salvation that has ever happened. What a day! What a happy and mournful day. I think we should call this day Salvation Day. It's the best I could come up with at short notice, at least. This is the central day of history is what we're celebrating here. Anyway, why don't we pray together, and then we're gonna do this. We're gonna look at God's word. Jesus, we thank you for this salvation day, when we look back to see the sure anchor, the certain hope, the reason why we are not condemned. Why anyone and everyone who believes in Jesus can be free from condemnation. We look to the cross. And as we look at your sacrifice on the cross today, I pray that you would open our hearts and eyes to see you, to know you, to trust in you all of our days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you're joining us for Good Friday and you haven't been here for the last week, which is fine, this might be helpful to say, over this Easter season, this year, we are spending our time kind of from last Sunday to 2 weeks after Easter, looking at the truth and the beauty of what Jesus achieved at the cross. The cross of Jesus, where he was killed, is the very heart of the Christian faith. As we saw last week, there is no Christian faith without the cross of Jesus, and nothing within the Christian faith can be rightly understood without understanding it in relation to the cross. And you know, if you're new to Christianity, even if you've been in churches a while, but you know, maybe you've never thought closely about your faith, a really fair question you might come up with is why we're so interested in Jesus dying. Some of us, you know, if you've been walking in the Christian faith for a long time, you'd be like, well, of course we're interested in Jesus dying. But it's crazy if you haven't come across it. You know, if it's the first time, it seems mad. I mean, coming back to life again, we can all get on board with, right? Like, who doesn't like the idea of death coming undone, right? But hang around with Christians for long enough, and hopefully you'll find out that we say that Jesus died for you. You won't often hear us say the phrase, Jesus rose again for you. It's not untrue. We don't usually focus anywhere else but on the cross of Jesus. And the Bible gives us a bunch of answers to why Jesus' death on a cross, which we celebrate this Good Friday, should be of central importance for every person in this world. And there are different aspects to it, which is what we're talking about through this series, but at the center of them all is this reality that Jesus went there in our place. It is a good day because he went there for us, in your place. And today I want to talk briefly with you about something that might seem, like to the modern mind, seems pretty dated. Like something you'd expect to find in the ancient world, not talked about today. And that's this idea of sacrifice. Because when the Bible talks about the cross of Jesus and what he achieved there, very often it uses this idea of sacrifice, of blood sacrifice. Yep. When you say it like that, it's got a bit of an Indiana Jones feel to it, doesn't it? Right. something you'd run into there. But the Bible tells us that Jesus died as a sacrifice for sins. And to get our head around what that means, we need to talk a little about that theme of sacrifice more broadly. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And because of that, because that is true, there is this running theme of sacrifice in the Bible. Blood had to be spilled. And just like last week, we saw that the exile that Jesus carried in our place goes right back to the beginning. The exile from the Garden of Eden, from the presence of God. So too, sacrifice is this theme that goes right back to the very beginning. Now, there's a thing that in younger years I always kind of thought was really inconsistent and odd. I didn't get it. Usually I just skip over it because I was like, that's one of those things I'll get later. It turns out I was right, actually. But in the first chapters of the Bible, I couldn't get my head around this. In the Garden of Eden, when God tells Adam that he and Eve are not to eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God says to him, in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, if you've read the first few chapters of Genesis, you know that's not how it pans out. You know, Adam and Eve, they eat the fruit. And then Adam does die, but not before living for an awfully long time. What seems to me like a person who's an Australian male in the 21st century, so I've got an average life expectancy of about 80 years, right? And Adam goes for, let's just say, a lot longer than that. And this only really made sense to me when I saw that the Bible shows that on the day when Adam and Eve were sent out of the garden, blood was spilled. The first sacrifice was made. An animal was substituted for a human death. In Genesis 3, humanity sin, God sends them away, right? The first exile, like we saw last week. And before they leave, we read in Genesis 3:21 that the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them with them. Now, pause a moment and just consider what's happened there. Up to this very minute in the Bible, Adam and Eve have lived in a perfect world without death or suffering. And God has told them that death will be the result if they sin, if they refuse to follow, if they go away from him. The wages of sin is death. And then on the day that they do turn away, they don't die, but instead God clothes them in the skins of animals who had to die to cover them. Can you see the rich symbolism in that real historical act? God makes the first sacrifice to mercifully provide for Adam and Eve. And from there on, this becomes this theme, this running thing in the Old Testament. Noah sacrifices animals, Abraham sacrifices animals, all of the patriarchs, they sacrifice animals, the blood sacrifices happen in the temple year in, year out to cover for the sin of the people of Israel in the temple there. Perhaps the starkest moment of this is a thing we call the Passover, when the Israelites are slaves in Egypt, and they have been slaves in Egypt for hundreds of years. And after many warnings and signs, still Pharaoh won't let the people go. And finally, God says that he will send a final plague, a plague of death upon the firstborn of Egypt. And actually, it says that this would have affected every household. Why? Because the wages of sin is death, and all have sinned. Every person deserves the judgment of God is the sobering assessment of the Bible. But those who trust in God are told to make a sacrifice. Kill a lamb, put the blood over their door frame, and then eat the meat with the bread and the wine. And when God's angel sees the blood, it will be a sign and he will pass over that house without judgment. And it happens as God said, and the people are finally free from slavery in Egypt, but their sin, their condemnation passes over them. It doesn't touch them because of the lamb who died for them. And the lamb, the bread, and the wine become this annual feast from then on, so that they will remember the saving work of God in delivering them out of slavery in Egypt. And they will remember that the lamb died so that we could live. And you know, when we get to the New Testament, we find this startling, maybe terrifying statement. Hebrews 10 says, "It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." Like, what? Thousands of years of this happening, and now we're just going, you know what? None of that worked. None of that was really sufficient for the job. But it doesn't just leave us there. It gives us something so much better. Shows us that all those animals, they were stopgaps, they were signs, they were really shadows. Shadows by which we might see the reality of the thing, which would come in the person of Jesus. So when John the Baptist sees Jesus coming, as Archie really read for us well before, thanks Arch. As we heard read for us today, he speaks those words, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Can you imagine the weight of that moment for John the Baptist as he sees the culmination of all of the years walking up to him? Jesus was the one true sacrifice for sin. He was our voluntary scapegoat. He took the punishment that we deserve. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus took the wages of our sin as a sacrifice for us in our place. Do you believe in him? Do you trust him? Do you follow him? There is nowhere else to get this. Do you know, like, here's a fun fact. Do you know why we don't sacrifice animals today? In the modern West, we don't say, like, that's not a universal reality, right? There are places where that's still going on. People will often think it's because we're modern, right? You know, we're civilized now. We don't go in for that kind of nonsense. We're past all that superstitious stuff. But respectfully, that's not how history represents this happening. You know, you go back to the days of Jesus and everyone was doing it. Like, not just the Jews, not even mainly the Jews, right? The Romans, they were sacrificing all over the shop. The Greeks, the Germanic peoples, all across Africa, all across Asia, everywhere in the world, people were always continuously sacrificing animals. Today, in large parts of the world, people are still sacrificing animals. And yet, here we are in 21st century Australia, and it seems like a disturbing and weird and distant idea, doesn't it, to sacrifice an animal? Like, if I'd got up here today with a sheep, I reckon I'd have no congregation by Sunday. Like, do you know why that is? Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus gave his life as a once and for all sacrifice for sins. The one and only perfect, spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Because the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. When Jesus went to that cross, blood sacrifice was fulfilled. It ceased to be necessary because a sufficient sacrifice had come. And so what happened was the good news about Jesus spread throughout the world. As that happened, the practice of sacrificing animals ceased. As people everywhere ceased to be haunted by this idea that there was a greater power who they had wronged and they had to make it up to, that blood was demanded. Every human has always had a sense that there is something wrong in them. We have that because we're not who we were made to be. Because we run from the one and only true God. Because of this thing that we call sin. We were so sure that we had to make it up to him. People aren't so different today. You know, we're not using goats for it anymore, but when a person says, I would come to church, but the roof would cave in on me. Or when a person says, I don't need to come to church, I'm living a good life, and they're striving their hardest to be good and to justify themselves by their actions. These things are proof that still we feel that we need to make it right, that there's something wrong in us. But as the good news of Jesus' cross spread across the world, and as it spreads into lives today, and as you maybe could even receive it today, people discover the truth that we were right about ourselves. We were in the wrong. We are not good enough. Blood was called for. If anything, we grossly underestimate it most of the time. See, this isn't just some history lesson that we're talking about today. This isn't just examining the distant past and the irrelevant stories of cultures and peoples far removed from us, like the Israelites who were slaves in Egypt, but who themselves deserved judgment. We needed a sacrifice to cover us. There is a greater judgment coming, the Bible says. A just judgment. A just ending that the Bible soberingly claims that all deserve. The wages of sin is death, and we all deserve to be paid. Like Adam and Eve, we deserve death, and this whole world still lives under it. But like them, because God has provided the sacrifice, because Jesus was the sacrifice for us, in our place we can be free. We were right about ourselves, but we were wrong about God. You know, our gut assumption tends to be that there is an angry, mean God who's just waiting for the chance to get us for what we've done. And yes, there is a day of just judgment. Justice demands that there is. Our wrongdoing demands it. But the Bible says that the God who we owed our debt to is the God who came down and paid it for us. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So the weighty thing that happened on Good Friday, the death of Jesus, is something that we can celebrate because by his sacrifice, we are made right with God by faith. We celebrate the good news. There is one who died in my place. And so I am set free from my sin and my shame. The good news of Jesus calls to you today. It demands a response from all of us. Will you live under the shelter? Will you come under the shelter? Will you put your trust in him and stop running from him? There is salvation in nobody else. For those who do shelter in him, there is certainty here. As certain as the certainty that Jesus' blood was spilled. Certainty based not in how good you are, thank God, or how worthy you are, but instead based solely in the fact that there is one who has paid the price for you, who has been the sacrifice for your sins. Yeah. On the night before he died, we talked about the Passover before, right? On the night before he died, Jesus took bread and he took wine and he celebrated the Passover with his followers. The feast that Israel had been celebrating then for thousands of years since leaving Egypt. Remember the lamb, the bread and the wine, right? But he filled it up with new meaning. He gave his followers the bread and said, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He gave the cup and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. And he didn't include the lamb. It wasn't so that churches could run on a budget. He didn't include the lamb on that night before he died because he wanted his followers to always remember every time that they ate the bread and drank from a cup that Jesus is the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. That he died once for all so that we would be delivered with great certainty from our sin. You know, we're going to practice that certainty now as we share in communion. If you're a follower of Jesus, I hope you see that this is a symbol of great meaning for you. It's very easy to become ritualistic with taking the bread and the cup and just go, yeah, this is just the thing we do. I mean, incy little plastic cups maybe don't help with that. I don't know. This is of great meaning. A sacrifice has been made for your sin, and so you are free. God himself came as a man and shed his blood for you. If you don't know him, if you're not a follower of Jesus, let me invite you again. Today you can choose to follow him. Today you can put your trust in the sacrifice for sins and you can join at this table as we celebrate what he has done for all who will believe. If you're not ready for that, that's okay too. Come, talk about it after the service. I'm going to pray for us now and thank God for what he's done. I invite you to pray with me and then we're going to take the table. Jesus, thank you for your cross. We deserved our wages, Lord. We deserved the justice that our sin has brought upon us. But Jesus, you spilled your blood for us, for all who would believe. For any who would come to you. I just pray, Lord, this morning that any hearing this who haven't come to know you would see that there is salvation in you and it is freely offered to all. And that they would put their trust in you and turn from the sin of this life. Lord, I pray that we would walk this day and always in the certainty of the salvation that we have in the cross of Jesus. Amen.